Welcome to the Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we are studying Chapter Nun Gimel 53. This chapter speaks of a naval, evildoers, that seem to strike out against our nation, that try to destroy our people. And the psalmist cries out, "Do they not know, these evildoers? Do they not get it?" And the chapter concludes with a prayer. When will come the time that the salvation of Hashem will finally come? When Hashem will return our nation? How glad, how joyous it will be. Something that is immediately striking about this chapter, of course, is that it is extremely similar, almost identical, to an earlier chapter of Tehillim, Perek Yud Daled, chapter 14, with only a few differences. Who is this Naval? About whom are these twin chapters speaking of? Rashi explains that the earlier Perek speaks of our captors and enemies who destroyed our first temple, and that this chapter refers to the evil enemies who destroyed our second temple. Radak explains this with a well-known shita about Tehillim in general, that is, David wrote this book about struggles in his own personal life, and as we have explained here in Nach Yomi, we can actually trace many chapters to actual experiences in his life. But that is far from the entire story. David HaMelech's life, with its many challenges and many salvations, is a mashal, a parable, for the life of the Jew, as well as our national story. He had us all in mind. All of us. Perhaps this is why we so often feel when reading Tehillim that we are reading our own words, our own story, that the words have a special relevance for us and our unique lives. This is the meaning, says Radak, of the repeated chapter, a hint to the duality of Tehillim, his story and our story. Malbim's opinion is that David had written the first chapter when he was saved from one of the kings who had waged war on him, and that this chapter 53 was actually set in the time of Chizkiyahu, David HaMelech's descendant, who found himself in a similar predicament and was similarly saved from the king Sancheirev, and chose to use the same language as his ancestor with a bit of editing, and that he attributes this parak to its original author, David HaMelech. Rav Hirsch has a different approach to these twin chapters. He explains that this is not speaking of one time in history or about one evil person, but about society as a whole. In fact, the phrasing of verse 2 indicates that there is no one Naval. Amar Naval Belibo Ein Elokim Hishchisu V'Hisivu Avel. The evil man says in his heart, there is no God, they act destructively and do evil in a loathsome way. Rav Hirsch explains that this switch from singular, he says, to plural, they act destructively, demonstrates clearly that we're not talking about any one man, and that this chapter mourns the downfall of humanity when people, when societies behave in a cruel way, in an immoral and conscienceless manner, as if there is no God. When that happens, the salvation of mankind will finally come, promises this chapter, and it will come through Tzion, and it will come through Mashiach. The reason it is repeated is because there are two possibilities for when Mashiach will come, and they both depend on us, the Jewish people. Mashiach will come either be'ito, in its time, or before. If the Jewish people will deserve Mashiach earlier, Hashem will send him. And if we can't get ourselves to that place, then Mashiach will still come, but in its time, and ultimately will save mankind from its own immoral demise. And to represent these two possibilities, this now hopeful chapter is repeated twice. So let us begin. Verse 1 introduces, Lamnatzeach al machalas maskil le David, for the conductor on the machalas, a wisdom for David. Lamnatzeach, for the conductor, seems so appropriate here, especially when keeping in mind Rav Hirsch's perspective. As a conductor writes the music and guides the musicians through a concert and has a plan for every single instrument, so does God write the music of world history. And ultimately, though we may wonder at some of the notes that are played, and though we may have trouble reading those notes, there is absolutely a plan, a concert, which will lead to a crescendo and finale with the coming of Mashiach, Lamnatzeach. Al Machalas, what is a Machalas? You see, Tehillim is not just poetry. It was a book of songs. And David HaMelech not only wrote the words, but often included the intended instrument for each chapter. Here, the instrument was a Machalas, says Rashi. Rashi brings another explanation, explaining the word machalas as illness. For Rashi says, we feel illness at the loss of our temple. The Medrash actually has a very different understanding of this word machalas and of this chapter. He says that the Naval in this chapter refers to a specific man whose name was Naval, who so brazenly mocked David HaMelech, refusing to feed his men, although David had just fought wars, saving the Jewish people, including Naval himself. David had thought to avenge himself against Naval, but Avigail, his wife, intervened, preventing David HaMelech from a sin that could not be forgiven. Lamnatzeach al machalas. This is a song to Avigail, who brought a mechilah, the forgiveness of David, by stopping him from this error. And then, according to the Medrash, David continues to speak of the brazenness of this Naval, who dared to fight against the Mashiach Hashem. Going back to the opinion of Rav Hirsch, verse 2 that we already mentioned bemoans the actions of the Naval, the evildoer, who acts as if he has no morals. A nevela is a dead animal. Here it refers to someone missing any spiritual life, any spiritual compass that will help him to make moral decisions. Amar naval belibo, ein elokim. Hishchisu v'hisivu avel ein osei tov. The benighted man thinks, there is no God. This philosophy of there is no God, this acting like it doesn't matter what we do, this is what causes people to behave as a naval. And so sadly, in verse 3, Elokim mishamayim hishkifal b'nei adam, l'ros hayesh maskil doresh es Elohim. Hashem looks down at mankind to see, is there anyone who is wise, anyone who is seeking God? God, who is of course very much present, very much watching, searches. Is there anyone who is looking to grow, who is looking to do the right thing, anyone looking for him? A famous old Jewish story speaks of a child crying. Why are you crying? The child answers, well, we are playing hide and go seek. I am hiding and no one is looking for me. Here in our chapter, Hashem similarly cries out, I am here. Is anyone looking for me? And sadly, in verse 3, Kulo sag yachdav ne'elachu ein osei tov ein gam echad. All turn away. They are foul. No one does good, not even one. Again, we have this connection between turning away from Hashem to acting in an evil way. There is a worrying difference in this verse between our chapter and chapter 14. In chapter 14, this verse says, Kulo sar yachdav, all turn away. Our chapter writes, Kulo sag. Turning away from God is dangerous, but unless real damage occurs, a person can turn back, return as it were, to the ways of God quite easily. But by the time society has reached the level of our chapter, The word is no longer sar, turn away, but sag, become impure. There has been real damage, and it's harder to fix. In verse 5 and 6, the enemy is addressed again. Halo yadu po'alei aven? Ochle ami achlu lechem? Elokim lo kara'u? Do they not know these evildoers who devour my people as they devour food and do not call out to God? This Naval is not just acting wantonly and sinfully. They are attacking Hashem's children. Whether this refers to Titus, who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, Sanherev, who exiled the 10 tribes and tried to destroy Jerusalem, or the enemies in the war of Gog and Magog at the times of Mashiach. Don't you know? What is it they don't know? Verse 6 gives us a bit of an answer. Sham pachadu pachad, lo haya pachad, ki elokim pizar atzmos chonach, hevishosa, ki elokim ma'asam. There they feared, and there was no fear. For Hashem scattered the bones of those who camped on you. You shamed them, for God despised them. There they feared, and there was no fear. The Malbim explains, it was and always is our fear of God, our connection to Him, that saves us every time. And since we feared Hashem, we had no need to fear. The Malbim, who explains our chapter as the times of Chizkiyahu, reminds us that when Sanherib sieged Jerusalem, the fear was real and the fear was great. This was Assyria, who had already conquered most of the known world, who had already exiled the 10 tribes. And Chizkiyahu cried out to the prophet of Yeshaya, "Are we finished? Is there any hope?" And he himself went to the Beis HaMikdash to cry out to Hashem. Yeshaya promised Chizkiyahu, "You don't need to fear. In fact, they will all die." In Kings 2, in describing the defeat of the enemy, it speaks of an angel who went through the camp of Asher that night and killed them all, leaving them all, as our chapter mentions, scattered bones. Why did we deserve this salvation? It was their fear of Hashem. Sham pachadu pachad, lo haya pachad. There they feared, so there was no fear. It was the fear of Hashem and their love of Him. In fact, Malbim connects this story to the teshuvah that was done in the days of David HaMelech, when the Jewish people did not bless Hashem enough for food and other pleasures. As it says in our verse 5, they would eat bread and not call out to Hashem. David HaMelech, in response, instituted the saying of 100 blessings a day, and it was in this merit of the fear of God that inspired the Jewish people to change, that saved them from this fear of Sanherib. And in the end, as Yeshaya the Navi had prophesied, there was no actualized fear. And then we come to the conclusion of this parak. When will we finally see salvation? Would we please finally see salvation? Again, if this chapter is a celebration of the personal and national miracle experienced by David and then Chizkiyahu, the plea is to take this personal one-time salvation and make it finally permanent. And if it is, in contrast, a response to the tragedy of the Chorban, the destruction of the two temples, we understand the cries of Mi Yiten Mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael, who will give us, when will it be, this final salvation? Bishuv Hashem Shivus Amo, when God will return the returnees, the captives of His nation. When will this long exile finally end? And like Rav Hirsch presents, it is certainly a plea for this final redemption. The language here is interesting. Bishuv Elokim Shvus Amo, when Hashem will return the captives of His nation. In the Torah as well, when speaking of the end of exile, the Pasuk verse says, Vishav Hashem Elokecha Es Shvuscha, Hashem will return your captives. Rashi asks about the word Vishav, as it would seem to be more correct to write Veheshiv. Here too, the word Bishuv almost sounds like God is returning with the captives of his nation. Indeed, Rashi tells us in Devarim, God loves his children so much that when we are in exile, he, so to speak, exiles himself as well. When we are hurting, Hashem is hurting too. And when Hashem will return us, only then will God himself return. With the return of his nation, Hashem will return. Rashi, also in Devarim, teaches an alternative explanation, also so beautiful and heartwarming and encouraging, that when the time comes to bring us home, Hashem will find each and every one of us, and so to speak, hand in hand, he will bring each one of us home. And when that happens, Yagel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael. Yaakov will rejoice, and so will Yisrael. As was previously mentioned, according to Malbim, the word Gila means a new rejoicing, and Simcha refers to constant joy. What is so unique about Yisrael, the great amongst the Jews, is that they never stopped believing in the redemption. The redemption was always alive in their hopes and in their hearts, and so they were able to rejoice even in exile. For the rest of the nation, the joy of redemption will be brand new, will be Gila. So let us review. We speak of an enemy of David, an enemy of Chizkiyahu, or of the entire nation, an enemy of time, or an enemy of all time. They act like there is no God, like Hashem is not there. And perhaps they confuse us as well. Does it matter what we do? Is anyone watching? Hashem looks down and hopes as well. Do they see me? Do they remember me? We are reminded that it is and always was a relationship with Hashem that saved us in the past and will save us again. That if we fear him, we need not fear anything else. And that Hashem is with us in our exile. And if we can feel his presence here, we will be reminded of his promised salvation. And we can even feel the joy of his presence and his promise here in exile. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.